Earlier today, President Trump announced a 10-day waiver of a 1920 federal law that has been blamed for hindering relief efforts in the Caribbean. Puerto Rico remains in desperate need in the wake of Hurricane Maria. The Merchant Marine Act of 1920, the so-called Jones Act, prohibits ships from hauling cargo between U.S. ports unless those vessels are American-made and manned by a crew made up of 75% U.S. citizens. The crisis in Puerto Rico has led to a new round of calls for the repeal of the Jones Act. The issues here are very familiar to Hawaii Shippers Council President Mike Hansen. He's on hand to help us sort them out. Hi, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
I'm happy to be here, Chris.
Let's outline what the Jones Act does in terms of what it was intended to do.
The Jones Act is one of a series of what are known as cabotage laws that have been passed in the United States, and they basically restrict the use of commercial vessels in domestic U.S. commerce to those vessels that are built in the United States, registered under the U.S. flag, crewed essentially by U.S. citizens, owned by U.S. citizens, and managed by U.S. citizens.
Protectionist measures.
Absolutely, yeah. Which means that, for example, you can't import a foreign-built vessel, reflag it U.S., and then operate it with a U.S. crew in the United States on a commercial basis. We can do that with airplanes. We can do that with taxis. We can do that with trains. We can do that with mass transit vehicles.
It's only boats, huh?
It's only vessels, yeah.
Vessels, yeah. Ships, boats, right? What would you like to see done about it?
Well, Hawaii Shippers Council has been advocating for some time now that the so-called non-contiguous trades of the United States, that's Alaska, Guam, Hawaii, and Puerto Rico, be exempted from the U.S. build requirement of the Jones Act or the cabotage laws writ large. And the reason for that is that U.S. shipbuilding costs are about five times what they are in Japan and South Korea, where wage levels are fairly actually, the wage levels are greater in Japan and just a little bit less than that in South Korea than the United States.
Mike, I'm going to guess that in 1920, shipbuilding in America was far more robust than it is now. Is that accurate?
Actually, one of the reasons for the passage of the Merchant Marine Act of 1920 was to reinvigorate U.S. shipbuilding.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. U.S. shipbuilding had been subsidized by the U.S. government during World War II for the production of merchant ships.
Right.
The so-called war-built ships.
Right.
And we would repeat that, of course, in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, there was a decline in shipbuilding. And it was thought that by restricting those ships built – that restricting the coastal trade to those ships that were built in the U.S. would provide a market. But unfortunately, the market has declined since then. And
well,
it never really worked. American shipbuilding has not been competitive since the Civil War. We were highly competitive in the days of wooden ships and sail power. But once the transition was being made to iron ships and steam power, the U.S. lost competitive edge.
Well, what you're describing is a law that has long since outlived its usefulness and now is being blamed for hindering relief efforts to a place in desperate need.
We don't have, in the U.S. Jones Act fleet, we don't have the numbers and the kinds of different ships that will be needed for the recovery in Puerto Rico.
But the international, if we were to just open this up, as has now been done, this waiver now opens up to any ship that
yes,
can deliver.
Yes, that's correct. But the problem with it, it's only 10 days.
Yeah, right.
And for a foreign vessel owner to reposition his ship and to get the kind of operation going where he could be moving different kinds of cargo from the U.S. mainland into Puerto Rico is going to take longer than that.
So now you're making it sound like a somewhat empty symbolic gesture.
at this present time. That's essentially what it is. I think that President Trump did this under extreme pressure from a number of different groups.
Well, it's been a week at least since Hurricane Maria.
And people are Democrats who are critical of the president, of course, are saying that Maria will be his Katrina, referring to the blame that George W. Bush got for that response in Katrina. So I think there's enormous political pressure on him to act.
Well, given what you're saying, that the 10 days might not make that much of a difference, it would seem that the gesture of the 10-day waiver could backfire.
Right. The sort of lead on the Democratic Party side is Representative Velasquez of New York. She's originally from Puerto Rico and one of the so-called five Puerto Rican congresspersons, people who are of Puerto Rican descent.
But there are no voting representatives from Puerto Rico.
Right.
Yeah.
But these five, they represent mainland districts,
right,
mostly with heavy Puerto Rican constituencies. And they are called the Puerto Rican congresswomen, and I guess now congresswomen as well.
Yeah.
There is one. Puerto Rico is an unincorporated territory of the United States. And they have a single non-voting delegate that serves a four-year term, which is unique in the Congress.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. And they can vote in committee and in the so-called committee of the whole, but they can't vote on the floor of the Congress.
So I would imagine that would be a bit of a helpless feeling given what we're hearing day to day coming out of Puerto Rico.
Right. And the current representative from Puerto Rico is a Republican, so she should have some ability to move the majority there.
Well, Mike, what has been the effect? Because we've heard many discussions of the Jones Act over the years in terms of its impact on Hawaii. What is its impact on Hawaii, and what would Hawaii benefit from a repeal?
We don't advocate for a full repeal of the Jones Act. What we're proposing is to reform the Jones Act, in particular, for the non-contiguous jurisdictions to exempt them from the U.S. build requirement. That would allow the use of foreign-built U.S. flag.
Still U.S. flag, though.
Yeah, sure. And in these trades. And that would considerably lower the capital cost. It would lower what the economists refer to as barriers to entry, because this is the problem that we're seeing now in that scuffle between Tote Maritime and Pasha Hawaii over who gets the terminal in Honolulu Harbor and who can afford to build the ships that are necessary. The cost of building is so high that it becomes an enormously difficult task to put together a service. And it shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, it's not that difficult in the rest of the world, and it shouldn't be that difficult here in the United States. And it's all driven by the very high cost of the ships.
So we're protecting, sounds as if we might be protecting an industry that is no longer viable.
It's no longer competitive, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you'd like to see it reformed but not repealed.
Yeah, and there's a problem with, I mean, you could do away with the flag requirement, but the problem there is that there's a whole series of other state and federal laws that impinge upon the operation of a vessel, immigration, customs, et cetera, et cetera.
Pretty complicated thicket of information. Mike, I really appreciate your being able to help us sort it out. Thank you. Mike Hansen is president of the Hawaii Shippers Council and a commercial ship broker and consultant. He ran his Honolulu Ship Agency from the late 70s through the 90s. He was also involved in ship chartering, founded a container shipping company that operated a direct liner service from Honolulu to the South Pacific.